We pray. Dear Jesus, you who came into this wicked world to redeem us, you have called us to be in this world but not of this world, and to walk in the light of your forgiving love. Bless us, guide us ever onward, and put us to use. Equip us for the task you have for us at hand, that we might bring glory and honor to your name in fulfilling your holy will, now and forevermore. Amen. It's quite a life-changing experience when we stand beside the bedside of a mother or father, uncle or grandmother, or a church member to whom Jesus is about to take home to heaven with them. I remember specifically one hospital visit about 22 years ago. We'll call him Bob, just in order to protect the family. But I received a phone call from the nurse on duty. Bob is failing quickly. Can you come? And so I hop in the car. I'm driving to the hospital. And I'm wondering, oh, will he be conscious? Will his big family be gathered around him? Will he be in all kinds of pain, or will he be highly sedated, which might make it tough to talk to him? Well, when I got there, I went into the room, and to my surprise, Bob was sitting up talking and laughing with his family. He didn't look like someone who was failing quickly, but he and his family looked at me. And they instantly figured out why I was there. And all of a sudden, it looked, the horror and shock was in their eyes as though I was some angel of death that had come. Jonah was an angel of death as he went into Nineveh and proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. With horror and panic in their eyes, the Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Nineveh was known for its wickedness. It was a large city filled with Gentiles that just hated the Israelites. They were evil to their core with every sinful pleasure known to mankind. I'm actually surprised at the sudden change that came over them with Jonah's words. Why did they listen to a single Jew who was shouting in their streets? They could have simply arrested him and executed him. I wonder if their guilt, the guilt of their sins, was coming to roost in their own hearts, making them miserable, sapping all the joy out of their lives. How long can people live in unbridled sin and still pretend like they're happy? Had they killed their babies by the millions and no longer could look at themselves in the mirror? Maybe half of their population was zoned out on drugs and alcohol, while the other half of their population were wild animals clawing and scratching after more money and toys and parties and power. And it is hard to live in a city or even in a family where trust and love have died. Cheating, backstabbing, lying, drive-by shootings, brutality, unfaithfulness, all those things kill love and trust and only bring suspicion and fear into people's hearts and lives to the point where they wish they were dead. Who knows? Maybe the Babylonians or the Medes or the Chinese were just over their border ready to invade. At just that moment when God had designed, Jonah walked through their city gates and to their city square, declaring, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Obviously, what suddenly transformed everyone's heart from the king on his throne to the washerwoman in her cellar, what transformed them is God's word, God's powerful word. His message of judgment put the fear of God into their hearts. It was real. His message forced them to take off their party clothes and wrap themselves in gunny sacks, to cry out in sorrow and to plead for mercy from the God of Israel. God's word, like an arrow, stuck deeply in their hearts. God's word did the impossible. It brought hardened sinners to repentance. God reaches out to miserable sinners. But what about America? Jesus is still the light to lighten the Gentiles. Have the sins of us Americans come home to roost in our own hearts? Is there a heavy blanket of guilt, shame, hopelessness, fear, and anger that grips our nation, house by house and street by street? Such despair? Or do us Americans still sing, "Blue skies, nothing but blue skies do I see"? I don't think so. Our sins make us ripe for judgment. Each of us Christians have a perfect opportunity to be a Jonah. In jewelry stores, have you ever wondered why they'll take diamond necklaces and lay them on a bed of black velvet? All so that the fire and the light of the diamonds might contrast with the darkness of the black velvet and shine ever more brilliantly. The darker, the more miserable, hopeless, and fearful our world becomes, the more brilliantly Jesus' mercy, his forgiving love, shines through the darkness of the night. Our friends and family may not have been too interested in eternal life when everything in their lives here was rosy and a bright success. But now, today, with hearts burdened and scared, hopeless and sad, being sinners in a world of sinners takes a toll on people and makes life bitter. God hasn't told us that America will be overturned in 40 days, but he has told us that there is a day called judgment where he will throw all unbelievers into hell. Does America need to hear that all over again? Perhaps God's coming damnation will find its target in unbelievers' hearts more than it ever has before. Like the jailer of Philippi, perhaps our friends and families and neighbors will cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" and present us with the opportunity to give the reason for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Today, God still reaches out to miserable sinners. He reaches out with his mercy and grace to those who sin so miserably and to those who have such miserable lives because of the sins. God's word still has as much power today as it had at Jonah's day. I shocked Bob when I suddenly appeared in his room. At first, I looked like the angel of death. But soon we started to talk about heaven, the home that Jesus had prepared for us through his death and resurrection. How Jesus had said that, "As surely as I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." I was able to announce to Bob that Jesus is coming today. The peace of God's mercy washed over Bob, and he rested easy. Within an hour, he was unconscious, and a few hours after that, he was home in heaven with Jesus. Verse 10 of our text says, "When God saw what they," the people of Nineveh, "did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened." God had a whole nother message for Jonah. "Jonah, go back into the town square." Jonah went, and he proclaimed to them, "God has saw your sackcloth, your gunny sacks. He's heard your cries of repentance and your pleas for his mercy. He is not going to overthrow you and bring the destruction he had planned. But even better, O citizens of Nineveh, he has planned for his own son to come down. To come down and save you from his eternal damnation in hell. Over in Israel, his son will come, and he will bear your sins and die your death. He will shed his blood and give up his life in order to open the gates of heaven for you. The Savior comes from Israel, but is for all peoples of every nation. In him, you have life everlasting, and whoever believes, Jew or Gentile, will be saved." I wonder if after that message, they were partying in the streets and rejoicing in the words of Jonah. But what about America? Jesus is still the light to lighten the Gentiles. Even in these end times, these final days, God's good news changes hearts and lives. Is America on its deathbed? How important for all Americans in these final gasping breaths to hear about Jesus and the salvation that he has won for them. Who's going to tell them if we don't? Who's going to invite them to come and see if Christians don't? Who is going to explain how our Savior has won their salvation if it isn't those who rejoice and believe in Jesus as our Savior? What will Americans gain if the pandemic is gone and the economy is roaring and all the politicians become honest and fair and there is no squabbling anymore and our borders are secure and there is no more drug addiction or immorality in America and there is peace all throughout the globe? And yet everyone ends up going to hell. There's the tragedy. But God's good news changes hearts and lives. We are the proof of it. How he has changed us. Now is the time for each of us to be a Jonah. Jesus is the light that lightens the Gentiles. Who do we know that needs to hear about their Savior? Could we make a list of their names? Could we pray for them each and every day? Could we keep our eyes open for an opportunity to invite them to come and see? Or to explain to them the hope we have in Christ Jesus, how he gives us peace and love and forgiveness. It's funny how that works. If we look for an opportunity, we're so much more likely to find an opportunity. What do we talk about with our friends and families and neighbors as we play a game or go bowling or shopping with them? As we're working on a car, perhaps, or watching a football game? It's funny, how many conversations have we had about COVID or elections or the government? And have we ever mentioned how God's hand guides us and guards us through all our troubles? Sometimes people might have a question for us. Why do you guys go to church so much? How are you able to stay so calm and happy through all these hard days? Why do you send your kids to that Lutheran school? Oh, what opportunities. Your friends and families might share news with you, like, I've just been diagnosed with cancer. Or maybe how they're worried about raising their kids in such a difficult time. Or maybe they're fighting with their boss and they don't know how to resolve it. Or they've wronged their spouse and they're afraid this could end their marriage. There are opportunities to share how Jesus has come to us in our fears when we've been deathly sick and he's allowed us to cast our cares upon him, how he guides our lives in raising our children to stay close to the Lord, how he empowers us to forgive those who have sinned against us, and most importantly, how he has forgiven us when we have sinned against him and others. And Jesus is here for them also. How desperately they need to hear that. It is a life-changing experience to stand beside the deathbed of a friend or family or neighbor as Jesus is about to take them home to heaven. Joy fills our heart, though, when God has used us to share the good news with them. When the Holy Spirit has brought them to faith through our testimony, and he has used us as his servant. God made his light of salvation shine in our hearts. Oh God, now give us the love of you and others to share your message with them, your message of forgiveness and peace in Christ. Also that many, many more might rejoice with us in the mansions of heaven. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, our times are in your hands. You call us to faith and you call us to service. May your words be in our hearts and also on our tongues, that we might give you glory, that we might reach out into the dark world with your life-giving gospel, now and forever, to your glory and the saving of many souls. In Christ our Savior, amen.